This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Hezrel and Kelvin, and we're now looking at nominations for the new Dewan Negara president. This comes as former president Tan Sri S.A. Vigneswaran finished his term as senator on June 22nd.
So currently there are four candidates from the Senate vying for the position. Tan Sri Rais Yatim from Bersatu, Yusmadi Yusof from PKR, Dato' Theodore Douglas Lin from Warisan, and Dato' Seri Muhammad Ali Muhammad from UMNO. The voting session will be held on September 2nd, when the Senate convenes.
That's right. So previously, Tan Sri Rais was speculated to be the front runner, but several opposition senators have said that he's not the right figure to lead the Senate and encourage consensus, hence the nomination of the two opposition candidates. So given that the vote will take place tomorrow, we want to zoom in on the role of the Dewan Negara president and how it contributes to our democracy.
Yeah, so that's clearly important, right? Because regardless of politics, there are some things that have been So civil society and activists have been calling for quite some time, which is that mainly with how we get our senators, quite a huge chunk of them are appointed. A very minimum number of them are elected to the position. So, you know, if let's say we do change up that system, hopefully that with senators being elected at one point, it might become a place where instead of representing political parties, instead of representing whatever political issues that they want to bring up, they might better represent the rakyat should we have elections for our senators.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to point out that UMNO nominated their own candidate, Dato' Sri Muhammad Ali Muhammad. So I'm wondering if that perhaps points to ongoing tensions between the two parties. But you can let us know your thoughts on this. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we're crossing over to a political scientist, Professor Wong Chin Huat, for his insights. Thanks so much for joining us, Chin Huat. Could you first walk us through the role of the Dewan Negara president?
The president of the Dewan Negara is the functional equivalent of the speaker of Dewan Rakyat. So the person would chair the meeting and therefore decides on the agenda in the micro way, meaning that, what gets to be debated and so on, how do you arrange the sequence, but not in the macro way to set the dates because those are to be determined by the government. And also as the head of the Dewan Negara, he would chair four committees, the House Committee, the Standing Order Committee, the Right and Privileges Committee, and also the Selection Committee, which in turn appoints members of these committees and other committees, what are normally called select committees. So as the head of the Dewan Negara, the president can sort of shape the culture, the organizational culture of that. But all this is very limited because the Dewan Negara actually has very limited power.
Right. What would be the process of selecting the president then?
This is interesting. So when you have more than one candidate, they have to vote by paper. And if there's no one winning more than 50% of the vote, then they will winnow out the weakest. And so leave the remaining to go on until eventually you have majority winner, which is a very democratic way of election.
So you mentioned that the Dewan Negara has very little power. Having said that, do you see the president's role as an important position? And what quality should the president have?
Well, the president should have more power. But you see, when you are the captain of a small boat, it doesn't matter much when the boat doesn't go far. So we really need to go back to say, you know, what reform they can do. And of course, you can say that internally, without changing the main structure, you can have more committees so that the members can actually play their role more effectively. You can have better support service. For example, this committee for senatorial reform has been talking about restoring the Parliamentary Service Act, so that the parliament has its own bureaucracy to support it. That's good. But that still doesn't change the fundamental problem that our Taiwan Negara has.
And the fundamental problem here being that it doesn't have enough power?
Yes. And why this is so important? Because we are a federation. If we are a unitary state where power is concentrated in, the sovereignty is concentrated at the central government, it's often possible to have single chamber, unicameral parliament. However, for federation, we normally have a second chamber, the upper chamber, so that it can represent the interests of the state, for the state to act as a brake in the car. And for that to happen, the Senate normally has to be elected and therefore has the legitimacy to check on the lower house, which is also elected. And the Senate would be given more representation to smaller states so that they would not be overruled merely because they have fewer voters. However, in Malaysia, our Dewan Negara has so little power, they cannot veto bills that have been passed by Dewan Rakyat. They can only delay it if it's a financial bill, delay it by a month, and for all non-financial bills, delay it by a year. So imagine a situation if the Dewan Rakyat passed a bill to amend the federal constitution to abolish the Dewan Negara. What the Dewan Negara can do is to delay that bill for a year. After that, it would be abolished. And the Dewan Negara cannot even protect itself. This is how vulnerable it is.
So the Senate Reform Working Committee gave several proposals for reforms last year. What were the key areas that were identified for improvement, and how much have things changed since then?
Okay, to my knowledge, we have not seen much from the changes. Let me talk about the reforms that the Senate Reform Working Committee has proposed. They have come out with 9 proposals. Three of them fall into administrative support, like to restore this Parliamentary Services Act, to provide adequate and suitable support for the senator, to establish a parliamentary academy to train parliamentarians, which sounds like these are people who are going as intern rather than they're already ready to take up the job. And then you have 3 more that's actually about appointment. They want to talk about having clearer guidelines in the appointment of senator, to extend the tenure of senatorship, and to ensure gender equality. They avoided the biggest questions of election, which was actually provided in Article 45, Clause 4, Paragraph B. They completely ignore this. And then the most important part, which I see that's really useful for this, is about legislative power. They talk about make better use of the Senate select committees to debate over issues, to scrutinize bills. These are good. And they also talk about to provide opportunity for the Senate to be allowed to originate bills that are politically non-controversial so as to lighten the load and burden of Dewan Rakyat. They might be referring to the existing practice, but if you look carefully at the Constitution, it says the bills could be initiated from either of the House. Under Article 666, Clause 1. So I don't really know why they have to mention this, because it's actually in their power. The only bills that cannot be initiated from Dewan Negara are financial bills.
Let's pivot to something else just for a moment. Can and should the Dewan Negara be independent of party politics?
This is a very good question. I think many Malaysians are tired of party politics because we have seen political parties acting in a very narrow-minded, selfish, hypocritical ways and so on. Unfortunately, modern democracy is almost impossible without political parties, because political parties organize the masses to produce coherent policy preferences. So what the people want can eventually be formulated in a form that is implementable. And at the same time, they also coordinate lawmakers, politicians into teams rather than leaving everyone to be maverick. So I think it's not advisable to make Taiwan Negara independent of party politics. Rather, what is important is to make party politics work better in Taiwan Negara. Taiwan Negara should be proportionally represented so that we should use different electoral system than first past the post. We can consider different ways. I think most important is that this upper chamber should represent the state interest. So one of the best ways is to have elections based on party list using the entire state as a constituency. And we can even consider emulating America in having staggered elections for the Senate, meaning that some of the members from the same state would face election and others would stay on, and then the other half to be elected in next 3 years, and each of them would last for 6 years. The Taiwan Negara would always capture two parts of the popular moods, because in year 2020, the wind may blow in one direction. In year 2023, it may blow in another direction. And the good thing of having Taiwan Negara capturing both different kind of different moods at different times is that the Taiwan Negara would then be more diverse in its opinion. Therefore, it can play a more effective role as the brake on legislations and policy deliberation. And in that case, what we'll see may be positive, healthy party politics rather than eliminations of party politics.
That's interesting. Now, how might having elected senators allow the Taiwan Negara to provide better checks and balances to the lower house?
Right. Well, if we have an elected Taiwan Negara, then it is legitimate for Taiwan Negara to have power to block the bills from the lower house. We may not want them to block a budget bill, for example, unless we want to give them the power to bring down the government. But at least Taiwan Negara should be allowed to veto all other bills from the lower house. And if you want to give lower house some ultimate power to dictate it, then to overcome the veto, they may need to pass it again with a two-third majority. Then with stronger power in the hands of the upper house, we basically would have a stronger brake. So if the parliament as a, or the country, the government as a car, then you can make sure that the driver doesn't speed crazily because the brake is working. At the moment, the brake is so weak that basically whoever controls the lower house, they can drive the car to whichever directions they want to.
And how do we get about installing those brakes? Would we have to amend the federal constitution?
To merely introduce election, you need not even to amend the constitution because the constitution has provided for such possibility. But of course, it is better to have it written in the constitution to extend the power of Taiwan Negara to block the bill beyond that. Just delaying it for a year, then we really need to amend the federal constitution. And I think these are the real reform that our senators should pursue. I find it amusing that the senators were talking about setting up a parliamentary academy so that to train parliamentarians. Because I think election is the best training ground. People should be really prepared when they get into parliament, and they can, of course, get more on-the-job training. But it shouldn't be that they go in and act like apprentices. And the reason why we have this trouble with the Senate is because Senates are appointed. When you're appointed, when you don't have to go through the patterns of elections, it's hard to know whether you are actually up to the standard to make decisions for the country. And I want to add the last point. People have been talking about giving East Malaysia the power to block bill from West Malaysia. The best way to do so is actually through the Senate. We should have the entire Senate elected and at least one-third the seats to Sabah and Sarawak. That way, Sabah and Sarawak interests get protected without distorting representation in Dewan Rakyat.
Chin Huat, thanks so much for weighing in. That was political scientist Professor Wang Chin Huat giving us his insights ahead of the voting of the Dewan Negara's president, which is tomorrow. So you can keep sending us your thoughts on that. After this, do stay tuned, though, for Popcorn Culture, where they'll be talking, paying tribute, rather, to the American actor Chadwick Boseman. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll be heading to the 7:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.